Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Today we have some comedy, we have some drama and action. And the drama and action part will come first. That's Dragnet, the program that had Joe Friday, the detective, or the LAPD. And before the TV show, there was, of course, the radio show. This is from 1953, and it's called The Big Ham.
Sound off for Chesterfield. Chesterfield, first with premium quality and best for you. Chesterfield brings you Dragnet.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned a homicide detail. A young girl has been shot with a .22 caliber rifle. It was reported a suicide. Your job, investigate. Here is Chesterfield's record with smokers, and important to you.
No adverse effects to the nose, throat, and sinuses from smoking Chesterfield.
That's the report of a doctor who has been examining a group of Chesterfield smokers for a full year and 2 months as a part of a program supervised by a responsible independent research laboratory. Don't you want to try a cigarette with a record like this? Chesterfield. First with premium quality. Chesterfield. First choice of young America. And that's from a survey made in 274 colleges and universities. Try Chesterfield's today. Chesterfield, regular or king size. They're much milder and best for you.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Monday, June 8th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch on a homicide detail. My partner's Frank Smith. The boss is Captain Lorman. My name's Friday. I was on my way into the office, and it was 8:03 a.m. when I checked into room 42. Homicide.
Joe?
Yeah?
Back here in the skipper's office. Ray Geese wants to talk to
you. All right.
Morning, Joe.
Hi, Ray. What do you got?
Suicide.
Anything on it?
Here's the report. Team from the business office went out last night. Get on it right away, will you?
Right, Ray. Let's go, huh?
Yeah.
Want to check this stuff before we get started?
Might as well give us an idea what we got to do. What's the report say there you got?
Let's see. According to this, business office got a call at 2:30 this morning. Landlady out in the Westlake Park District called in, said that this young girl had committed suicide.
They get an ID on her?
No, they got her listed as Jane Doe, number 17. There's a description here.
Better check it with missing persons, huh?
Uh-huh.
How'd the landlady happen to find the body?
Well, according to the report, she heard the water running in the apartment, finally went up to see what it was. She knocked on the door, nobody answered. She opened it and went in, found the body.
Well, the girl didn't live in the apartment then?
No, place is rented to a Ross Mitchell.
Anything on him?
No, says he wasn't home. He was checked through R&I, no make on him.
How about prints on the victim?
No go. Checked him out, nothing on her here. We can send him on to Washington.
Yeah.
And they found a suicide note. There's a copy of it here.
What's it say?
Ross, I've tried to make you understand. Nothing seems to do any good. I've told you that I won't stand in the way of your career, but you don't want to try to make a go of it. I know this doesn't solve anything. It's the only way I can think of.
Any signature?
No. The report says that the original copy's over at the crime lab for processing.
Well, I guess we better start with the landlady, huh?
It's the best lead we got. Glindo and Bates are out there now. Place was staked right away.
Friday, you want to talk too?
Right, thanks, Ray. It's Friday talking. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, we just got it. Is that right? Okay, Max. No, have him wait there, will you? No, we'll be right over. Right, thank you. Well, it's a little break. Max over at the coroner's office says they know who the girl is.
Yeah.
Her father just identified the body.
Hello?
8:14 a.m. We left the city hall and we went over to the Hall of Justice. We met the victim's father, a Mr. Robert Andrews Paul. He told us that there could be no mistake. The body was that of his daughter, Gloria Z. Paul. The attendant had given him some smelling salts, and after introducing us, he'd left to close off the viewing room.
I don't understand why she'd do it. None of it makes sense.
When did you see your daughter last, Mr. Paul?
Saturday afternoon. That was the last time. I never saw her again.
She was gone Saturday night and all day yesterday, is that it?
Yeah.
You hear from her at all?
No.
Weren't you worried about her at all?
No, sometimes she doesn't come home, stays with a girlfriend, but when I didn't hear from her last night, I got worried, started calling around.
She say where she was going when she left?
Told me she was going over to see Peggy. Said the two of them were going to a show and that she'd be home for dinner, sure.
Well, who is this Peggy?
Peggy Rockwell, a friend of Gloria's.
Uh-huh. Have you talked to her?
What?
I say, have you talked to this Peggy since your daughter disappeared?
Yes, I called her last night. I talked to her then. I was most out of my mind. I didn't know what to do. I talked to her last night. She didn't know.
Does your daughter know anybody named Ross Mitchell?
Ross Mitchell? No, I don't think I've ever heard the name. Why do you ask that?
I just wondered.
You know something about this you're not telling me, is that it?
No, sir, we don't.
Well, it must be something like that. You don't just come up with a name like that out of thin air. You gotta have a reason. Now, look, I'm a father. I got a right to know. All night sitting there waiting for the phone to ring, calling her friends, thinking she's been in an accident, imagining all kinds of things. If you know something, you should tell me. I've got to know. How am I going to tell her mother? Poor woman's almost dead with worry. She doesn't know about this. All she knows is that the baby's gone, that's all. The baby's gone. Gloria is dead. I don't know what to do.
All right, Mr. Paul, try to take it easy.
I'm sorry if you got a cigarette.
Yes, sir. Here you are. Here, I'll give you a light.
Sorry about that.
It's all right, sir. We understand. Now, do you think you can give us an address where we can talk to this Peggy Rockwell?
Yeah, she works at a restaurant over on 7th. I've got a home address, too, if you want it.
Yes, sir. We hope you'll understand this, Mr. Paul. We don't mean any offense here.
What's that?
Did your daughter have any steady boyfriends that you know about?
No, I don't think so. No one that she went with steady.
No one man she liked more than the others?
I think there was. I don't know who. Her mother asked her about it a couple of times, wanted to know who the fellow was, but Gloria'd never say. Just said that it wasn't serious, it didn't matter.
How'd she seem to get along with this man, would you know?
All right, I guess. I told you, I never saw him. I didn't know who he was. But whenever Gloria had a date with him, she acted like it was something special.
Did your daughter have a job?
Not regular. She used to model once in a while, and then maybe she'd pick up a day's work in pictures, not much.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any reason why she'd want to take her own life?
No. She seemed pretty happy, never gave any indication there was anything wrong.
Has she been ill lately under a doctor's care?
No, not that I know about.
Well, Mr. Paul, is it possible she might have been seeing a doctor and you wouldn't know about it?
No, our mother would have known. She'd have told me. Now, I'm pretty sure she was feeling all right.
Anything about her job that bothered her?
What do you mean?
Well, was she happy with what she was doing, the kind of work she was doing?
Oh, yeah. Gloria didn't want a career. She was looking for a husband, one to settle down and raise a family.
Mm-hmm. Well, can you think of anything at all that might make her want to take her own life, as I asked you before?
I can't understand it. None of it makes any sense to me. Where she was found, she didn't know anybody in that part of town. I don't know what she'd be doing over there.
Could she drink?
I don't think I understand.
Well, did she drink much, sir? At bars, cocktail lounges?
No, she didn't. Now, Gloria was a good girl. She didn't drink or smoke. She was a good girl, and I don't understand all this. First this thing with Ross, and now you want to know if she drinks. I don't know what you're trying to get at, but I don't like it. You're trying to make Gloria something that she isn't. She's a good girl, always has been. Just a home and family, that's all she wanted, nothing more. I don't know why you're asking me all these questions. I'm a father. You're the police. It's up to you to find the reason. That's your job. Not to come around and say things about my girl.
I'm sorry. We're not saying anything, Mr. Paul.
You are, too. You're trying to make me believe that Gloria wasn't a nice girl. Now, I know different. I raised her since she was a baby, gave her all the care I could. I don't know why she'd do a thing like this.
You don't?
No. Why ask me these questions?
Well, sir, you said it yourself.
Huh?
You're her father. We continued to talk to the father of the victim. From him, we got a list of the girl's friends, the address, and the names of the people that she worked for. While we were talking to him, he was unable to give us any ideas to why his daughter, Gloria Paul, might want to take her own life. He insisted that he didn't know anybody or any one of his daughter's acquaintances named Ross Mitchell. A telephone call was put through to his wife, but she was unable to tell us who the man was. 8:20 a.m., Mr. Paul recovered from the initial shock, and he went home. 8:39 a.m., we drove over to the rooming house where Gloria Paul had been found. On the way, we stopped to call the crime lab to see if they'd been able to come up with anything in the dead girl's effects to help us. Lieutenant Lee Jones at the lab told us that they hadn't finished their investigation yet. 8:50 a.m., we arrived at the house and talked with the landlady, Thelma Keene.
It's terrible. Poor little thing.
You haven't seen Ross Mitchell yet, is that
it? No, he hasn't come in. I told the officers last night that I didn't expect him until noon today.
Have you seen the girl before?
Once in a while. She'd come in with Ross, wait for him, and then they'd go right out.
Did you see her last night, sir?
I told the officers that were here last night that I didn't. Didn't you talk to them at all?
Well, yes, ma'am. We have the report they filed, Mrs. Keene, but we'd like to get some additional facts from you.
It seems like a waste of time, but I suppose you have to.
Yes, ma'am. Do you have any idea when she might have come in?
No, not the slightest.
When was the last time you saw Mitchell?
Saturday around noon. He came in and told me that he'd be out of town over the weekend. Said for me to keep an eye on the place.
Yes, ma'am. Did he tell you where he was going?
He said he was going to visit an assistant director friend of his over in La Cunada.
Did he say what the friend's name was?
No, they're working on a picture together. Ross just met him the other day. Asked him out for the weekend. Ross was very good at making friends.
Mm-hmm. Do you know where he's working?
No. Ross just said it was a sea adventure. Doing it in full color. 3D, too. I guess it's going to be quite a spectacle. They didn't have all the gimmicks in my day.
Ma'am?
Didn't have 3D or the other things. In my day, we acted. We knew how to act. From the heart. These youngsters are good flack. Can make a star out of anybody. Oh, things have changed. Here, this one. That's me with the pith helmet. This was made over on Catalina Island. We were shooting a jungle picture. We acted. No doubles for us, real actors.
Mm-hmm. When was this, ma'am?
A few years ago. Now, why are you asking all these questions about Ross?
Well, the note the girl left was addressed to him.
That doesn't mean anything. Just some lovesick girl. Doesn't mean Ross had anything to do with it.
How'd you happen to find the body?
I went to bed about 10:30. They were running one of my old movies on TV, and I stayed up to see it. You happened to catch it? The thing called The Floods Will Come. I made it over at Catalina. It starred Nick Benton, real movie idol. Here's one of the stills from the picture.
Yes, ma'am.
Here's the whole company. That's me. And that's Nick with the puttees. He'd put on a little weight. I remember he had to do road work while we were there to trim down. Held the company up for a week. The grand picture. They didn't do it right on television, though. Looked a little corny. I guess the way they ran it through the machines. You know, we all looked pasty. Even Nick.
Yes, ma'am. Would you go on, please?
Well, after I saw the rest of the picture, I went out to the kitchen, got a bowl of shredded wheat to eat in bed. Came back to the bedroom, and I heard this noise.
What noise was that, ma'am?
Like somebody was running water in one of the taps. Went on and on. Pretty soon it started to bother me. I couldn't understand it.
Uh-huh.
Finally, I went up to see who it was. Noise came from Ross's apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I knocked, but there wasn't any answer, so I unlocked the door and went in. I thought something was wrong. And that's when I saw her.
I see.
She was lying on bed. Right away, I called the police.
Before you went up, did you hear any other noises? Any sound of a struggle, anything like that, maybe?
No, just the water running.
Well, how about the shot, ma'am? You hear that?
No, I didn't. A lot of shooting in the picture I was watching.
Did you touch anything in the room?
No, I turned the lights, but that's all. Room was dark when I went in. Just turned on the lights, and then I called you.
According to our report, there wasn't any purse found with the body. Did you see one when you went in there?
I didn't. But if I had, you'd gotten it. What are you trying to say? That I stole her purse? Is that what you're trying
to
say?
No, ma'am, that's not what we're trying to say.
Better not. I've got a reputation in this town. I know a lot of big people. I'm not going to have you come in here and call me a thief.
Well, we didn't mean to offend you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Who has a key to Mitchell's place besides him, ma'am?
No one. He's got the only one. I don't like a lot of keys to the rooms out. I tell all the tenants that.
Have you got any idea how the girl might have gotten into the room?
No.
Do you know who the gun belonged to?
Yes, it was Ross's.
You're pretty sure about that, are you?
Yes, I saw it when he moved in. Commented on it then. He said that he'd had it since he was a kid. Kept it out of sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
What's this all about, anyway? You seem to think that there's something wrong, is that it?
No, ma'am. It's just that in things like this, we have to make a complete investigation. You can understand.
Oh, well, I want to do all I can to help you, but I do have an appointment. If there's nothing more you want, I'd like to be going.
That's all right, Miss Keene. If we want to talk to you, we'll be able to reach you here?
Yes, right here.
We'll give you a call to tell you about the inquest.
Am I going to have to be there?
Yes, ma'am. You and Mitchell.
Why him?
Well, it was his apartment, ma'am.
But he didn't have anything to do with it.
Well, maybe so, ma'am, but he'll still have to be there.
It's not fair. A thing like this can ruin him. By the time the papers get through with it, he'll be finished. It can ruin his career. He doesn't know anything about it. He won't be able to tell you anything.
You're wrong there, ma'am.
Hmm?
He's got a lot to explain. We went upstairs and met the officer staked out in the room and looked at the apartment where the girl had been found. 9:20 a.m. We gave our card to Thelma Keene and asked her to call us if she thought of anything else. We also asked her to notify us immediately in the event she heard from Mitchell. The stakeout on the room continued. 9:52 a.m. We drove over to the coffee shop on West 7th Street to talk to the girl's friend, Peggy Rockwell. We found her in the back of the place typing out the day's menus.
What about Gloria? Something wrong?
When was the last time you saw her, miss?
Well, let's see. Saturday night, she stayed at my house. Left about noon on Sunday. I had the day off. Figured that maybe we'd do something, but Gloria said she had something to do. Last I saw her was on Sunday morning.
You know a man named Ross Mitchell?
That bum.
Why do you say that, Miss Rockwell?
Because he is. Real no good.
You pretty friendly with Miss Paul?
Well, Gloria thought so. Turned out he was just using her.
Well, how do you mean?
Thought at first she could get him some jobs. Turned out when he could do better, he dropped her. They were going to get married, and then he thought he could do better, so he dropped her.
Mm-hmm.
Say, do you mind if I go ahead with these menus? The boss will be sore if I don't get through with them.
No, you go right ahead, miss.
We can talk while I'm doing it.
Yes, ma'am.
I took a course once, touch typing. Didn't think I'd ever use it. Boy, was I fooled.
You go right ahead, miss.
Well, this Ross really gave her the rush. Had her take him around, introduce him to her friends. She got him a couple of jobs. She's the one who introduced him to Mike.
Mike?
Yeah, Mike Cowell. That's Ross's agent. Peggy set it up. She's done just about everything for him. Then the bum acts like this.
What do you mean, miss?
Treated her so bad. Say, how do you spell croquettes?
Well, I think it's C-R-O-Q-U-E-T-T-E-S.
O-Q-E-T-T-E-S. Turkey. They had roast turkey last night. I don't understand how people can eat them, but we sure sell a lot of them.
Did Miss Paul say she was going to see Ross over the weekend?
Yeah. She said she had an appointment with him Sunday. Said she'd called him and set it up.
You know what time?
No, just said she wasn't going on like this. Had to be straightened out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame her. She's told her friends they were going to get married, and at the last minute, Ross would back out.
Her family know about Ross?
No. Father didn't mind her doing a little work in show business, but he didn't want her to marry anyone in it. She thought that if they just got married, then the family would understand.
Joe?
Yeah?
I'll call the crime lab, see if they've finished.
Yeah, fine, thanks. How'd Miss Paul and Mitchell seem to get along, ma'am?
What do you mean?
Well, do they have any arguments or disagreements, would you know?
Not often. Most of the trouble they had was about getting married. Ross kept saying that it wouldn't do him any good to be married now. He thought that it might hurt his career. That's all he thought about.
Were you ever present at any of these arguments?
Once. We'd gone out on a double date, went to a place down at the beach, had dinner, and then stopped on the way back for a couple of drinks.
Uh-huh.
Ross got pretty drunk, got into a big thing about his career.
Yeah.
He went on and on about how hard he'd work, how much the theater meant to him, all that kind of stuff.
I see.
Finally, he said right out that he'd kill anyone who tried to stop him, just like that. He'd kill anyone who tried to stop
Joe,
him.
Joe, yeah. See you a minute.
Would you excuse me, please?
Sure. Just a minute. Yeah. Is there one L or two L's in broccoli?
Just one, ma'am.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Just talked to Lee Jones.
Yeah, did he finish up?
Yeah, something's wrong.
What's that?
He thinks the girl was murdered.
You are listening to Dragnet, the authentic story of your police force in action. Years ahead of them all. Chesterfield is years ahead of all cigarettes. Chesterfield quality is highest. Here's the proof. Recent chemical analyses give an index of good quality for the country's six leading cigarette brands. The index of good quality table, which is a ratio of high sugar to low nicotine, shows Chesterfield quality highest.
Chesterfield quality highest.
15% higher than its nearest competitor.
Chesterfield quality highest.
31% higher than the average of the five other leading brands. Don't you want to try a cigarette with a record like this?
Chesterfield, first with premium quality and best for you.
Try Chesterfield today, regular or king size.
Ten 37 a.m. We drove to the crime lab and talked with Sergeant Jay Allen. He told us that when they checked for powder burns on the body, they hadn't found any. They measured the reach of the dead girl and found that it would have been almost impossible for her to have pulled the trigger on the rifle, leaving the fingerprints they found on the gun. Water test failed to show any traces of nitrate powder on her hands. They checked the handwriting on the suicide note found in the room against samples of Gloria Paul's writing and found that they didn't match. From their findings, they said that it was their opinion that the girl had not killed herself, that she'd been murdered. We went back to the city hall and got out a local and an APB on Ross Mitchell. We called the landlady of his rooming house. She hadn't heard from him. 12:30 p.m., we went back to the rooming house and relieved the stakeout. We asked the landlady not to say anything to Mitchell about our being there. 12:45 p.m., still no sign of the suspect. 1 o'clock, 1:30.
Who are you? What are you doing in my place?
Come on in.
Who are you?
Police officers. Come on in. Close that door. Put that suitcase down.
What's this all about, anyway? What have you guys been doing here? The place is
you,
all
Ross
torn
Mitchell?
Up. Yeah, why?
You know a girl named Gloria Paul?
What's she got to do with it?
You know her?
Yeah, I know her.
When's the last time you saw her?
Say, what's this all about? What's all these questions?
When was the last time you saw Gloria Paul?
Friday night, I guess.
Don't you know for sure?
All right, Friday night.
You haven't seen her since?
I told you, the last time was Friday night.
You didn't see her Sunday?
No.
Where were you Saturday and Sunday?
Out of town.
Where?
La Cunada.
Can you prove you were there?
Why?
Can you prove you were there?
I don't like all this. You guys coming in here asking a lot of questions. What are you trying to prove?
Who are you staying with?
A friend of mine.
What's his name?
I'm not going to have him dragged into this.
You haven't got any choice.
Well, that's what you say. You haven't told me what this is all about. I'm not telling you anything. Will you tell
now
me?
Now, you look, Mitchell, understand this. We're not here to pass the time of day. You better come up with some answers quick. Now, who are you with?
Friend of mine, guy named Sid Austin.
What's his phone number?
You going to call him?
We got to check your alibi. Now, what's his number?
Won't do any good to call him.
Thought you said you were there.
I was.
Then we got to call him.
Well, he won't be able to tell you anything. He wasn't there. He just let me use his place. There wasn't anybody there.
Who's got a key to this place besides you?
You mean here?
That's right.
Nobody.
You got the only key, huh?
That's right. The landlady's got one, just the two of them.
You got any idea how somebody else could get in here?
No. Why?
How well do you know Gloria Paul?
What's she got to do with it?
How well do you know her?
We used to go together.
Anything serious between you?
She thought we might get married.
How'd you feel about it?
I don't think that's any of your business.
Maybe it is. How'd you feel about it?
I liked her. She was a nice kid.
Nothing more.
No. Now you look. I think it's about time you told me what this is all about. Something to do with Gloria, is that it?
That's right.
What?
She's dead.
Hmm. Oh. Can I please have a cigarette?
Yeah. Here. Here's a match.
Thanks. How'd it happen?
Thought maybe you could tell us.
Why'd you figure that?
Where'd you see her last?
Up here.
This room?
Yeah.
When was that?
I told you, Friday night.
You have any trouble with her?
No.
No argument?
I told you no. Well, how'd it happen? Can't you tell me?
You own a .22 rifle?
Yeah.
You got bullets for it?
Yeah, why?
Where do you keep it?
Closet over there.
You keep it loaded?
No, the bullets are on the shelf in the closet.
All right, come on, Ross. We better go downtown.
What for?
I want to talk to you.
What for? You got to tell me before I have to go. You got to tell me what you're holding me for.
Suspicion of murder. Now, come on.
Where are you taking him?
Downtown.
Why?
We want to talk to him.
You didn't have anything to do with it, did you, Ross?
I don't even know what this is all about. All I know is that Gloria's dead.
She killed herself in your room.
What?
In your room, Ross. It was suicide.
Well, they're arresting me for murder.
Oh, you can't do that. Ross didn't have anything to do with it. It was suicide. That's what you said.
All right, come on, Mitchell.
Well, you can't do that. It was suicide.
You want to take him out of the car, Frank?
Yeah.
You can see that you're making a mistake. He didn't have anything to do with it. He's going to have enough trouble with that girl killing herself in his apartment. You can't arrest him for murder. It was suicide.
What are you trying to tell us, lady?
What?
Something you want to say here?
No, you're making things up.
All right, let's go.
Yes. Yes, go ahead, take him. Go ahead. He wants to be a star? Let him. Go ahead and take him and serve him right, the way he treats people. I tried to help him. God knows I tried. Got him to meet a lot of important people, a lot of contacts. You think he was interested? You bet he was. How does he show it? I'll tell you how. He thanks me for all I've done for him by running around, chasing after that young nobody, that Gloria. I tried to reason with her, tried to talk some sense into her. Told her that she couldn't do anything for him. Told her that I could make him a star, bigger than anybody. She said she loved him. She doesn't know how to love.
You want to go ahead?
I came over here all the time, begging Ross to marry her. I told her to get out of his life and stay out, to leave him alone. He didn't need her.
When was all this?
Sunday evening she came here all dressed up. Oh, when they're young, they know everything. I'm one of the biggest stars this town ever had. She's a nobody. I know what's good for that boy.
Didn't you tell us you didn't see the girl Sunday, isn't that right?
That's what I said.
Did you see her Sunday?
Yes, I did. She wanted me to let her into Ross's apartment. I told her he wasn't there. She said it didn't make any difference. She'd wait for him.
Yeah?
I told her to leave him alone. She didn't understand him, didn't know how to take care of him. I know the right people. He could have written his own ticket in this town. He could have been big. You don't want him. I killed her.
All right. Do you want to get a coat, ma'am?
Yes. Doesn't make any difference. I did it to help him. I thought you'd think it was suicide. I didn't think you'd figure anything else.
You wrote the note, did you?
I did. That's what you've got to understand. For him, that was all that counted. He'd married her and he'd been through. I had to stop it. I didn't want to kill her. You can see I couldn't let him marry her. Ross is a fine actor. Real talent. Doesn't come along often.
All right, lady. Let's go.
He'll understand, won't he? He'll know why I did it. He'll understand.
I wouldn't know, ma'am.
Huh?
We'll let you ask him.
The story you have just heard is true. The names were changed to protect the innocent.
On October 14th, trial was held in Department 89, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of that trial.
Now, here is our star, Jack Webb.
Thank you, George Fenneman. Friends, Dragnet Radio is taking a summer vacation. We'll be back in the fall. George Fenneman will tell you all about that in a minute. Meanwhile, I hope you'll watch our TV show regularly, and I also hope that all of you who are not Chesterfield smokers will try them. I like to feel that when we resume broadcasting in the fall, every one of you will have switched to Chesterfield. You'll find they're best for you. And of course, when you go on that vacation this summer, be sure to take along a couple of cartons, will you? Chesterfield. And we all hope you have a very pleasant summer.
Thelma Alice Keene was tried and convicted of murder in the first degree. She was sentenced to life imprisonment in the California Institute for Women, Corona, California. You have just heard Dragnet, a series of authentic cases from official files. Technical advice comes from the Office of Chief of Police W.H. Parker, Los Angeles Police Department. Technical advisors, Captain Jack Donahoe, Sergeant Marty Wynn, Sergeant Vance Frazier. Heard tonight were Ben Alexander, Virginia Gregg, Vic Perrin. Script by John Robinson, Ben Alexander. Music by Walter Schumann. Hal Gibney speaking.
For a million laughs, tune in Chesterfield's Martin and Lewis Show, Tuesday on this same NBC station. And sound off for Chesterfield's, either regular or king size. You'll find premium quality Chesterfield's much milder. Chesterfield is best for you.
By special request, Dragnet is being sent to our servicemen and women all over the world. Chesterfield has brought you Dragnet, transcribed from Los Angeles.
Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Dragnet leaves radio for the rest of the summer. We'll be back early in September. Watch then for our return. Check the radio listings of your newspaper for the day and time. Please note, however, that if Dragnet is seen on television in your community, it will continue throughout the summer.
Have you tried new cork-tipped Fatima? It's the smooth smoke. Here's why. New Fatima tips of perfect cork. King size for longer filtering. And Fatima quality for a much better flavor and aroma. Remember, Fatima has the tip for your lips. Try new Fatima. See how smooth it is. Fatima is made by the makers of Chesterfield, Liggett and Myers, one of tobacco's most respected names.
Dragnet, the Big Ham from 1953. We'll move on to comedy now with the Baby Snooks Show. This is called Live at the Bijou.
The Fanny Bryce Show with radio's newest personality, Danny Thomas as Jerry Dingle the Postman, Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, and starring Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks.
Find ourselves in Sycamore Terrace. It's a bright, sunshiny day, and down the street, his footsteps jaunty and slightly pigeon-toed. As he carries the morning mail, comes that gay young man in gray, Danny Thomas, in the role of Jerry Dingle, that daydreaming postman.
Hello, Mr. Trumbull. Hey, how come you're closing the drugstore so early in the day?
Haven't you heard they're having a real live show on the stage at the Bijou?
Oh, sure, I'm going too, Mr. Trumbull. I hear they have a great comedian over there.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Happy, aren't you afraid you'll have a good time?
No danger. I brought along a sleeping pill. Huh. Well, so long, Jerry.
So long. Have a nice nap.
Good morning, Jerry.
Oh, hello, Mr. Higgins. Hey, how's Snooksy?
I'm going home to get it now.
Huh?
We're going to the Bijou Theater. They have a big show there today. Several acts of vaudeville, including the Quiz King.
Yeah, I know. You know, I met one of those quiz fellas once, and I almost won $5.
Oh?
But he asked me a very tricky question. He said, Mr. Dingle, what great soldier is buried in Grant's tomb? And without any coaching from the audience, I said, George Washington.
Brilliant reply.
Yeah, but I should have been coached from the audience. But I was thinking if you'd enjoy my company, I would go with you and Snooks to the Bijou.
I'm sorry, Jerry.
I'll be happy to defray the expense of the tickets.
Oh, delighted, Jerry, delighted. We'd love to go with you.
Oh,
meet you in front of the Bijou at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
Well, there's the theater, Snooks. Can you see what's playing?
I can almost see it. The last word is the king.
Wonder what picture that could be. Can't you make out the rest of it?
Now I can. Three, pa.
What?
Three, pa, king.
Oh, free parking. That's only for people with cars.
Oh, do we have to go back and get our car?
Now, don't be silly. What does it say on the marquee?
Troll, pickle, ma, pick.
Troll, pick.
Dick.
That's tropical magic. Don't they teach you how to read in that broken-down school of yours?
No.
Yes, they do.
Then why can't I read?
You can if you try. Now, who's in the picture?
Matt Daly.
That's Matinee Daly. Stop acting like an infant. When you're out with me, I want you to act like your mother would.
All right. Lancelot, get your feet off the sofa. Lancelot, come dry the dishes. Lancelot, water the
That'll do, that'll do.
Man, can I scratch my back?
Silks?
That will be all.
Very well, Lancelot.
Look, you're altogether too frisky tonight.
Yeah, ain't I?
You want a spanking, or are you going to behave?
Behave.
All right. Let's look for Jerry Dingle.
There he is, Daddy.
Oh, here are the tickets, Mr. Higgins.
Oh, good, Jerry. Let's go.
Waiting for all seats.
Oh, we ain't going to wait for no seats. Carmen Dragon's playing on the stage here, and he'll fix it up for us. And on the way back, I'll get some candy. How about it, Snooksy? What kind would you like?
Any kind that makes noise.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know the kind you mean, Snooksy. The kind with cellophane.
Yeah, that's the kind.
Oh, come on, Snooks. This way. Well, we're inside. My, it's crowded in here.
Waiting for all seats. Please don't stand in the aisle. Step behind the rope, please.
Oh, fine. Roped off like so many head of cattle. Just plain cattle. Oh, the indignity of it. I just don't know what to say.
How about moo?
Stop that. Look, Usher, don't you have two together?
No, sir. I have one in back and one in front.
What does he mean?
He has a seat in back and a seat in front.
He has?
Yes. Quiet. You're disturbing the people. We'll just have to wait in the back until we get seats.
I want to see the picture.
You can't see it from back here.
I want to see the picture.
Please, Zeus. I can't see it either.
Well, you hold me up so I can see it.
Oh, all right. Here, let me put you on my shoulder. There.
Well.
You might let me in on it. What's happening on the screen?
I don't know.
You don't know? What are you looking at?
The lobby? You're hauling me the wrong way.
Oh, excuse me. There. How's that? Can you see the screen now?
Mm-hmm. There's a man and a lady, and they're having a big argument.
Well, what's it about?
It's about kissing. He wants to, but she don't want to.
Just like a woman. Probably expects him to throw himself at her feet.
Yeah, he just said he'd do it. Daddy?
Yes?
What's so good about her feet?
Never mind. Look at the picture.
She still don't want to. Oh, now she wants to. But he don't want
to. How long does this go on?
I think the picture is almost over, Daddy.
What makes you think that?
They both want to. They both did it. Oh, boy.
Well, the inevitable clinch. That's the end, all right.
No, she's telling him to go away. Go away, Bruce. No tears. No farewells. I want to remember you just as you are. And he says, yes, I've got to go. I've got to go.
All right, all right.
I gotta go.
Cut it out, Snooks. I can hear him.
I ain't talking about him.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if we hurry, we won't miss the stage show.
Yeah, let's hurry, Daddy.
Just a minute there now, buddy. No one's allowed in the dressing room.
Oh, I just want to see Carmen Dragon.
Well, you can't see him now. He's just about to play a smile.
That was wonderful. Oh, gee, I listened so long to the music, I forgot I left Mr. Higgins and Snooks without seats. Outside in front.
Hey, out of the way, Murgatroyd. Luke McGluke's coming on stage.
Oh, gee. Oh, my name is Dingle, not Murgatroyd. Gee, Luke McGluke, the great vaudeville actor in person. Oh, hello, Mr. McGluke.
Hiya, Jack.
My name is Dingle, not Jack. I'm Jerry Dingle, Mr. McGluke. If it's not too much trouble, I'd like to have the honor to shake your hand, if you don't mind having the honor to shake mine.
No, never shake hands with strangers.
Oh, Mr. McGluke, excuse my effrontery. I trust I've chosen the word wisely. But what do you do in vaudeville? Do you have a trained seal or are you a tightrope walker?
Why, listen, you sycamore slicker. I don't like to talk about myself, but when I played Syracuse last week, the critics were unanimous in their opinion of me.
Oh, this I'm sorry to hear. But do they love you in St. Joe, Mr. McGluke?
Love me? When I tell a joke, the audience screams.
You'll excuse me, Mr. McGluke, but you are a man who is very crazy, in my opinion, about yourself, in my opinion.
Look, Bob, don't talk that way about me.
No one can stop me from expressing an opinion.
Beat it or I'll call a cop.
Except you.
Beat it!
Yeah, but... Big shot actor. Such is the result of good intentions upon my part. How do you like that he got sore? Big shot vaudeville actor. Who wants to be a vaudeville actor? Who wants pretty girls to body for autographs? Who wants girls that beg you to go to parties? Who wants girls? I do. When I tell a joke, the audience screams, he says to me. I should have said they scream for help, I should have said. Listen, you sycamore slicker, he says to me. I should have said, under the Constitution, this is a direct insult, I should have said. Sure, I should have said it because I know the Constitution backwards. I do. America of States United, therefore, Constitution this established for it, so end. And that's just part of it backwards. Calls himself an actor. And I could have been the greatest vaudeville actor in the world. I can see the sign now. Right in front of the theater. Vince Mules, Powers Elephants, Theremin's Cats and Rats, and Jerry Dingle. Sure, why not? It's a free country. I'm a citizen. You can just see me now, backstage.
Oh, Mr. Dingle, it's such a thrill interviewing you. I know how modest you are, but won't you please tell me something about yourself for my paper?
Oh, very well, my dear, but make yourself comfortable first. You're slipping off my lap.
Oh, thank you. You're so considerate and you hardly know me. Now let's talk about you.
About me, eh? Well, I've always been unassuming. I've never been a ham. I shirk from acclaim and applause and fame, but as modest as I am, I admit I'm great. When I am on the stage, I really rate. There never was an act to match me. They yell, we want Dingle, but they never catch me. I reiterate, I have to modestly admit I'm great. 4 years now I packed the house in every town. My acrobatic stunts have brought me great renown. I do a double flip straight up and then I don't come down. I admit I am great. We're in the theater now, and every single rafter rings as Dingle the impersonator walks out from the wings. Ladies and gentlemen, I shall now give my impersonation of Jimmy Durante giving his impersonation of Charles Boyer. Or Charles Boyer giving his impersonation of Jimmy Durante. Or take it from there, Jack.
The irony of it. Me, Charlie Boyer, cooped up here in this Casper joint. Toujours l'amour, or dive. What a dive. That means I'm humiliated in French.
Come, Charles, we must flee. The prefect of police is after us.
Steady, Hetty. I'm not ready.
Pardonnez-moi, monsieur. I am Henri Jacques Pierre Louis Anton Jean Lasvogel.
The guy's in business for himself. Everybody wants to get into the Casbah. But that is neither Pepsi nor Lamoco. What are you doing in my Casbah?
I am the prefect of police. I have a ticket for you. You parked your camel in front of the Casbah. Come.
Just a minute, Junior. You can't throw me in a Castile. I'll sue for information of character. Mansour, I'll sue for misappropriation of alienation of affection. Garçon, I'll sue for habeas corpus.
You mean you will sue for slander?
No, let slander do his own suing. I got the law on my side. I quote from the Toledo statutes. The case of Chevrolet Coupe versus Coupe Chevrolet. Quote, cum laude respiratum, cum laude mentholatum, six semper vix vapora, at your neighborhood drugstore tonight. Spelled sideways. End of imitation.
A hush comes on the audience and every nerve's a tingle. The next is a dramatic act portrayed by Jerry Dingle.
The scene, the fashionable London apartment of the Sir Jeremiah Dingles. The occasion, the return of Sir Jeremiah Dingle after 5 years of hunting the wild herringbird in the jungles of Kansas. Lady Dingle has opened the door. At the sight of her fair, lovely face, he loses his self-control and greets his wife fervently, passionately.
Hello.
Jeremiah, you.
Agatha, me.
We haven't seen each other for 5 years.
True. Haven't seen you for three, you haven't seen me for two. I trust I've added the numbers correctly.
Jeremiah, you look rather strange.
I didn't think you'd notice it, my dear.
What happened?
A tiger chewed off my head.
How awkward, Jeremiah. It would keep a stiff upper lip.
I'm not at all depressed, dear. As a matter of fact, it's cured my sinus trouble.
Jeremiah, aren't you being rather bold? You're trying to kiss me.
So sorry. I lost my head.
It's next to closing now, and the applause creates a clatter. Here come Dingle and Ryan, happy songs and snappy patter.
Hello, hello, hello. Try to make you like a little show.
No matter where we entertain, we always do our bit.
We played an ice cream parlor once and we were quite a hit.
Why, they all laughed so much we even made a banana split.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hey, Charlie Dingle, why do you brush your teeth with gunpowder?
Because I like to shoot off my mouth.
But speaking of shooting off my mouth, I got a job in the circus. They shoot me out of a cannon. Oh, they shoot you out of a cannon?
Yeah.
Does it pay well?
2 cents a mile and traveling expenses. Wait for the joke, will you?
But speaking of 2 cents a mile, you know my uncle hasn't had a haircut in 40 years.
Why? Is he eccentric?
Wait a minute. No, he's bald. You know, I was up at the North Pole once and I didn't have anything to eat. I met an Eskimo and I said, hey, I'm starving. Have you got any blubber?
Yeah? And what did the Eskimo say?
He said, I got one blubber and 2 sisters. Speaking of sisters, my brother just swallowed a can of gold paint.
Yeah? How does he feel?
Guilty.
Oh, goodbye. We hope that you enjoyed our little try.
There's nothing like a hearty laugh. For people big or small.
We'd like to tell more jokes, but there's none that we recall.
As the carpenter explained it, we have given you our all.
Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
back to Daddy and Snooks, who have finally gotten themselves seated. Daddy is settling himself to enjoy the stage show. Evidently, he isn't reckoning with Snooks.
Daddy!
Quiet, Snooks. The quiz show is about to start. There's Mr. Quiz King himself up on the stage. See, his assistants are going up and down the aisles.
Are they looking for seats?
No. They're going to ask the audience questions. If you answer them right, you get money. If you answer them wrong, you get candy.
Imagine that.
If they ask me enough questions, I can get rich.
If they ask me enough questions, I can get sick.
Well, we'll soon find out. Can you see all right?
No, there's a hat in the way.
Which hat?
That big one on the lady's head.
Well, don't point. I can see the lady's head. Tell her to remove it.
Lady, will you please remove your head?
Not her head. Remove her hat.
All right.
Oh! That child snatched my hat off.
Snooks. Oh, the child didn't mean any harm, madam. Here's your hat back.
They shouldn't allow people like you in the theater.
She's certainly got a bark to go with that face. Looks like a Doberman pincher.
A Doberman what?
Pincher.
All right. Oh, sure. Oh, but you don't.
Never mind. Oh. Here comes one of Mr. Quisking's assistants. Try to attract his attention.
Yo-ho, yo-ho, here we are.
Not that way. He's coming towards us. I think he's going to choose me.
Well, you seem to be a likely prospect, young lady.
Darn it.
I have a little girl.
You have? What's her name?
You're the little girl. Now, pay attention to Mr. Quiz King.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever answer the question right, now's the time.
What is your name, young lady?
Snooks Higgins.
Well, I have just the question for a little girl your age.
Oh, make it an easy one.
How much is 2 times 2?
We're dead.
2 times 2? Let me see. Oranges or potatoes?
Well, let's say oranges.
I can only do it with potatoes.
Good grief. Look, give him the answer, Snooks. What are you waiting for? For goodness sake. Force yourself.
What'd you say, Daddy?
I told you 3 times 4.
3 times 4? 12.
I'm so sorry, but give that young lady a box of crunchy munchies. Next contestant, please.
Well, you sure did a great job on that.
Thank you. Have a crunchy munchie.
Crunchy munchie. Come on.
Where are we going, Daddy?
Oh, maybe we can get another crack at this thing if we move to another part of the theater. Let's go.
There's 2 seats down front.
Oh, yeah, quick. Duck into them.
Yeah, come on.
Here he comes again.
How do you do, sir? May I ask you a question?
Why, of course. I'd be delighted. Go right ahead.
Is this your daughter?
Unfortunately, yes.
Good. I have another young lady, Mr. Quiz King.
Your name, please.
Don't give him your right name.
Whose name should I give him, Alexander?
Give him Aunt Sophie's name.
Now, what is your name, please?
Aunt Sophie.
Well, Aunt Sophie, here's a question you can answer. Who invented the cotton gin?
Uncle Louie.
I am talking about the cotton gin.
Well, Mommy says he'll drink anything.
His first name is Eli, but I can't think of his last name.
There'll be no coaching from the audience.
He ain't the audience. He's my daddy.
What's his last name?
What's his last name?
I can't answer that.
Give that man a box of crunchy money.
Eli Whitney.
I'm so sorry, but that was coaching. But give that child a box of candy. Next contestant, please.
Come on, Snooks.
Here we go again.
Look, if by some fortunate coincidence he happens to come our way again, let me do the talking.
You've been doing most of the talking.
Don't be smart. Grab those 2 seats.
All right.
He hasn't chosen anyone from this section yet.
Here he comes. Should I attract his attention?
Yes. Ooh, you didn't. You didn't have to trip him. Here, sir. Let me help you up, sir.
Thank you very much. Would you like to be a contestant?
Well, I hadn't thought of it.
That's my daddy.
I have a man, Mr. Quiz King.
All right, for $75.
Oh, boy, this is my meat.
What is osmosis?
Osmosis.
Don't you know, Daddy?
Certainly I know. Osmosis is, it's located in, he invented the, it's when,
Oh, you'll like Crunchy Munchy.
I'm so sorry, but give that man...
Never mind, I got some.
Next contestant, please.
Come on, let's get out of here. What an outrage, asking questions like that on a quiz show. Who'd know what osmosis is?
I would. It's a process whereby a more dense liquid tends to flow through a less dense liquid through a membrane.
I'm a bum again.
Have a crunchy munchy, Daddy.
Thomas, Hanley Stafford, Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, and starring Fanny Bryce as Baby Snooks. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.